Jason, a Tipsy Political Roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. How are you guys doing tonight?
Wow. You know, that applause sounds about right. You know, just being like, I'm here.
Everybody's doing all right. Yeah.
I don't know who's thriving in this environment, you know?
Yeah.
Who's really like, this is the best time of my life. This is the best decade ever.
We've got monkeypox landing on our shores.
Raise your hand if you have monkeypox. Okay, cool. Okay, Thanks for coming. We appreciate that. That's great. That's really great.
So we are a married couple. We love drinking beer and talking politics with our friends who are smarter than us.
Smarter than us, funnier than us.
We were doing that already, so we decided to turn it into a podcast and a live show, and we're so excited to be here at Caveat. I should say that we are drinking Six Point Bengali beer tonight. We want to shout out Six Point for providing some beer for us tonight.
A lot of people are like, oh, you host a podcast where you talk about politics and drink beer, and they don't realize that the beer is actually as important as the political aspect of this.
It is for me.
We like good beer.
We do.
Yeah.
Excited to have some nice local beer. And that's what I tell people, because I'm a beer nerd, and when people ask me, friends who live in other cities, like, what should I drink? Drink local. Drink what you can get in your city, because there's a great brewery, you know, in every city in America.
And
right
you
now.
Know what? Beer is easier to get now than formula. So give beer to your children, to your babies.
But we got a big show tonight. We have a council member here.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exciting.
And Charlie, if all of our listeners, because this is a podcast as well, know that Charlie loves to get local politicians on here and talk to them about congestion pricing and biking. So
That's
we
right.
will have some of that for sure.
So it should be a good show. We've been drinking beers backstage and some wine too. And we're going to keep drinking on stage and have a little conversation. You guys ready to meet our wonderful panel?
All right,
please welcome. She is the co-host of the Betches Up podcast, Millie Tamarez.
Oh, yeah. She is the founder of Abortion Access Front and the co-creator of The Daily Show, Liz Winstead.
Welcome, Liz. And please welcome New York City Council member representing District 2, Carlina Rivera.
Woo!
All right. Welcome, Carlina.
Oh. You know.
Wow. She did the whole loop.
You know why? She's marching the beat of her own drummer, finding her own way on stage. Oh, my gosh. Guys, thank you so much for being here. We have an all-lady plus Charlie panel.
Ally.
Yeah. A friend of women.
A friend of women.
Yes, that's right.
Hello, he for she. Hello.
Is that the technical term, he for she?
Oh, there is like a UN campaign, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
With Emma Watson.
Hermione
Granger.
Yeah, her real name. But
yeah.
But why use it when she's
Hermione?
Wait,
so the title was he for she?
Well, and it was just like men being activists for women. I also, this is side note, in 2014, 2015, there was a he for she event where the guy from You, the lead guy, at that time he was just a washed up Gossip Girl guy. I saw him do spoken word about domestic violence.
Oh, God, no.
In Harlem, everybody.
Wow, did that kill or what? It's like we want men to support us, but like not with spoken word. Personally what I think.
I feel like
but
let's give
Cardi's
them advice.
Boyfriend, like.
Huh?
Didn't you become like Cardi's boyfriend really fast on the
internet? Oh, there was online flirtation. Yeah, I feel like Cardi's, yeah. We can talk about Cardi, but I'm like, she's not going to make it with Offset past 30. I feel like then it's going to be real fun. But anyway, two beers, politics.
He for she. I don't think I'm going to bring that back. I don't know. It doesn't have that ring to it.
I don't know. It's just also super weirdly gendered. It's also super weirdly, as I say that, we did a benefit last night for Abortion Access Front where we were like, we're so tired of begging for money that I just called up six white men comedians and I go, you can do the bare minimum and raise money for us. And they go, okay. So we called it Bro v. Wade. Like, that's just it. Like, just be on the show, raise money, and that's good.
That's funny.
Yeah,
too.
I think it's like, you know. Yeah, the idea is, like, you know, the oppressor or, like, the people who benefit most from the society like this should be the ones that are most active and most thought about activism. So for that, I want to know, Charlie, what have you done for women?
Well, let me tell you what I did for Abortion Access is I got a vasectomy.
Oh! Yes!
Yay!
No claps for vasectomy. Wow.
All these men in the audience.
We have
like
a packed house and none of the men clapped.
No, I'm going to let Cody introduce our first segment on abortion.
Charlie is going to like sit in the corner and not talk the rest of the show because he's going to feel bad about it and he's not going to know what to say.
I'm proud of you.
No, it's okay because women actually don't get accidentally pregnant by themselves. A man has 100% of the time accidentally impregnated a woman.
Well, 99.9 because Mary... The Virgin Mary.
Oh, except that's for right. that one. That
you forget
one time.
About that.
Yeah, we all forget about that.
The
it's the most popular book in the world.
Yeah. Come on. How dare you?
Oh, gosh.
It's the most translated. Either way.
That's true. Laughter through tears, everyone. So we do want to talk about Roe v. Wade most likely being overturned because that is the biggest news that's happened since our last show. It feels like Americans have become numb to shitty things happening to them, and I sort of feel like that's the biggest problem, is that most people are like, it's another shitty thing. It's just layer upon layer of shitty things, and then they feel like they have no control over doing anything about it. They kind of think everything's like just not that big of a deal. And we're being told right now, that it's not that big of a deal. Like, abortion will get taken away in 50 states, but you'll be able to get the abortion pill or whatever. We keep being told we're being hysterical about it. So I guess, is there anything that we can do to make people start paying attention? I know, Liz, you are dedicated your entire career to getting people to pay attention to...
To abortions. I want less audience members.
Yeah.
I mean, I think fundamentally the problem is the media has been derelict and people have been derelict to talk about abortion and normalize it. And you know, we need to get to a place where we are a nation that honors all pregnancy outcomes, right? When we talk about abortion and you talk about it in the framing of what does it mean to have justice for pregnancy, we need to say if somebody is a low-income person who's pregnant and they want to have a baby and they're 16, we need to provide those resources for that person. If somebody is 35 and has two kids and wants to have an abortion, we should be able to provide that. But the fact that we, stigmatize sexualization, sexuality, gender, pregnancy as a whole, we need to all come around and really talk about how do we value destiny? How do we value family? And we don't do that. And we need to start really centering what that means.
Yeah. A lot of people, the argument is that, well, you'll still be able to get an abortion in New York, but it does feel like they might be coming for a national abortion ban, right? What do you think, working in local politics, do you feel like that is also something we need to be looking on the horizon for?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, with the women, with the WHPA and what happened there. And then there's the newer bill that they're trying to push, which is still a ban on 15 weeks called the Reproductive Choice Act, which is just, you know, another piece of bullshit that they're trying to push on people to understand. I think what being in New York, and sometimes it's we're in New York and then there's the rest of America, you know, you try not to get, you know, too inside your bubble, you're really looking around. And I think when I first came into the council, I was very, very unapologetic that I was always going to talk about abortion. And I was going to talk about it right away, and I was going to say the word. And some people said, well, watch your space. Watch the space you're in. Say woman's right to choose. Say, you know, give them choices. Let people, you know, make their own decisions. And I was like, we have to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to say the word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we did the first, abortion access fund in the country.
That's right.
Which is Woo-hoo! Very exciting for New York. And it like, I'm really, really, really proud of it. I feel like it's, like, one of my greatest achievements as a council member. Because you're a council member, you're, like, wondering, what can I really do to make a difference that could potentially have national implications? Mostly people are just sending me, like, a picture of, like, overflowing garbage cans.
That's Charlie.
Which
that's probably
I take care of that. I take care of that.
Okay, but so I'll start sending stuff to Julia.
There Salazar. You go. So for me, I just thought this was great. It could be a model. Places could do it better. And we could learn from other cities. So when Austin did it, and I think it was something they did differently right away, was provide resources for transportation.
Yep.
So it's a different city, different layout.
Huge.
So you got to be nuanced in your approach. And we just need other municipalities doing the same until we can get those federal protections. Like, either way, we still need the money. Women, just people, gender expansive people do not have the money to get all of the medical services that they need. And that is because we have systemic racism issues and all kinds of things in this country. So I'm trying to take it right as far as I can in New York City. And I passed the bill last year to make long-acting reversible contraception, or LARCs, or what people call IUDs,
right,
readily available at health clinics. So just trying to keep pushing it so that people can see the potential and what's possible. So I think, you know, local municipalities have to talk about it. That's how they have to address the needs of their community.
Yeah, I think, just to piggyback off of Carlina, Joe Biden did the State of the Union a few months ago, and he didn't even say abortion in it. He clearly, you know,
He hasn't said it out loud.
So, like, that was something that we talked about on Betches, is, like, why don't people want to say it? And personally, you know, I'm not a politician, but as a comedian, as an artist, I mean, that's what you're working on. It's just like, yeah, it's how can we normalize the conversation and then normalize the realities? And I think two powerful pieces of media for me, one was this article that came out in 2014 about the last abortion clinic in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And just it just profiled anonymously all the different kinds of women that got abortions. Some of them were like, I'm not ready right now, or I can't, you know, whatever. And another important piece of media is that this indie film, I'm going to fuck up the name, it's like Never, Sometimes, Always. Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always, where it's about a 17-year-old girl who lives in Pennsylvania, who's poor as hell, gets pregnant, and then, you know, Pennsylvania's not even far from New York, but you just see, like, she steals money from the cash register to be able, and lies to her parents, and gets a friend to skip school with her, and takes the bus 4 hours to come to New York City, and then the laws, so it's just like, even though they came to New York City, and there's these, like, oh yeah, just go to New York and get it, it was just showing the realities that I didn't even think about, of, like, who's actually doing it, and, like, what are their obstacles? And, you know, it shows, like, these two 17-year-old girls who are scared. They've never been in the city before. They never left their town in Pennsylvania.
And they're only a four-hour drive. If you live in Mississippi when this law hits, like, you won't be able to drive anywhere. It'll be 15 hours.
It'll be 15 hours, and then, you know, with some of these punitive laws that are, like, you can't even leave the state and all that shit, it's just, like,
do you think we need, as women, to talk about that we like sex more? Like, I feel like this...
my mom doesn't think I need to talk about it any more than I do.
Okay.
But maybe as women, yeah.
One of the things that just really frustrates me behind this whole conversation is they always say, like, these laws are so extreme, they won't even make exceptions for rape or incest. And I think, well, fuck yeah. If you really, truly believe it's murder, if you're one of the, you know, 10% of people in the country that believes it's murder, then you shouldn't think there should be exceptions, right?
Yes.
But if you are using this because you think, well, I don't know, it makes me uncomfortable that women sometimes have sex and enjoy it just for fun and not for procreation, then I want to ban it in those cases. But if she's truly raped or there's incest, then that's fine. But if she's having sex for fun, then I want them to bear the brunt of it.
Sex poll's pretty high, right? If we were going to poll on, like, people that like sex and find it enjoyable
and doing it for reasons
other than having a child, it's pretty high. It's pretty high for men and women, you know? And so I think that's the ridiculous thing about the whole conversation, is that, like, contraception is not 100%, right? Birth control, the pill, is, like, 99%. Condoms break, you know? I had situations in college where I had to get a morning after pill. Like, my girlfriend had to get a morning after pill.
It wasn't with me, guys.
But I feel like everybody has that story, like, growing up and, you know, when you first start having sex, having a bad condom, or, you know, just having a girlfriend who's
or
on
not
the,
knowing
on
how to put a condom on.
Proper.
You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, sometimes people don't use birth control. You know what? As a
Which
society,
is also okay. Yeah.
We do not invest. We're not going to invest in trying to stop any of this. All I care is if somebody needs an abortion, I want them to be able to have it free, accessibly, and be able to do it. Because truth be told, any kind of caveats, you're right. There are no good abortions. There are no bad abortions. There's simply the abortion you need. And so when people decide on saying these, kind of trying to couch it, and And because we have a media that hasn't talked about it, we're constantly hearing tragedy porn scenarios of the 12-year-old who was raped and she can't get an abortion. And it's like, when people decide they want an abortion, like, their reasons that they've decided for themselves are the exact reason that we should all honor. And they don't need to tell anybody about it because that means that their life is going to be on a path they need to bring it. And just because it's not an outward-facing tragedy or whatever, like, we need to regroup on just, like, honoring bodily autonomy as a notion of, like, it's my, you know, it's like, well, let's return abortion to the states. Let's return abortion to the people that are going to have them.
I think it's just, like, reinforcing this idea that I feel like is super harmful, which is, you know, women, young women, teens, everyone, like, are not in control of the sexuality. Women's roles and people's roles, feminine people, is just like, you're supposed to be the one that says no. You, like, men can go wild, have sex with whoever. You're supposed to be the stopgap. You're not supposed to enjoy it. It's supposed to be something that you have to do and an obligation and all this stuff, and then everything else is not cool. So, yeah, like, having laws, having birth control, all that stuff is just like, it's giving women a control, and yeah, like, it is acknowledging that, yeah, women do enjoy sex and all this stuff, and it might not be most of it, like, with men or in the ways that men are taught that sex is enjoyable, but that, you know, that shakes the status quo. And I personally feel like in anything, like, if you're not in control of your fertility, you're not in control of your life. You can't plan ahead, like, all that stuff. And I've just seen it. You know, I grew up in South Florida. One of my friends, she got into a University of Florida, which is a great college. She found out she was pregnant. And I remember all the obstacles. Me and her, we would call clinics to see if she can get an abortion. Florida is one of those states where you can't get one without parent permission. She didn't want to tell her parents she had sex. And, of course, we called all these fake clinics that were just Christian centers.
Gosh.
And all this, like, all this crazy shit. She ended up telling her parents, and her parents thankfully let her. And, like, now she's a lawyer. She's a lawyer, and now she just had a baby. But I'm just thinking, like, damn, what if her parents said no?
Yeah.
And, like, that would have, like, you know, she wouldn't be on this trajectory or this path. So, and she had to lie to her parents, too. They're like, how many times are she? She's like, only
the
once.
First time.
But it's like, it doesn't. Yeah, that's what she said.
Oops.
And I'm like, did your parents really believe that? But whatever, they believe what they want to believe.
My parents got pregnant in high school. My mom was 17, and she got pregnant with my twin brothers. And she was Catholic, and she bought into the idea that she shouldn't have an abortion. And she said, I'm going to have the babies. And she got kicked out of her house because they wanted her to have an abortion, because abortion's okay if it's your daughter. It's not okay if it's everyone else. And, you know, I had a really, it was a really hard life to have parents that are 17 years older, you know? Like, it wasn't easy. I love my parents. I'm close with my parents, but they don't have a dime to rub together. They never have. Like, they've, you know, had a rough life, but they wanted us. I can't imagine if on top of that, layered on how hard that was, with no support system, with no money, with any of that, then to also be like, and also I resent you and hate you. Like, you know, I just, it was my mom's, both of my parents, it was their choice to have us.
There's,
and they were happy about
it. Like, what is it? Children of Emotionally Immature Parents is one of the best-selling books on Amazon right now.
I gotta read that.
Yeah, no, it's life changing. Yeah. But
and not everyone, you know, like, plan. Not everyone has the goal to have kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's not everyone's aspiration.
Yeah, it's hard.
And also, like, for people to, you know, personally, birth control. You know, listen, I have sex like 5 times a year,
and I'm just
like, I'm gonna pay $40 a month for, it's like going, you know, a gym membership that I never use. Like, I don't know, I'm not gonna do that. But then
you could get every, $10 a month at Planet Fitness.
Yeah, I know, and yeah, exactly.
They
really just cry a lot.
Do they really put bagels and pizza after you? Like,
yeah, they do on Mondays and Thursdays, right? I mean, I don't know.
I know. I used to own, the one time I would go was for the pizza day.
Yeah, exactly. So where am I gonna pay a membership for this shit I don't even use?
Well, the good news is, guys, if you do choose to have a baby and not have an abortion, there's tons of formula for you. Our government is doing a wonderful job of taking care of women. Well, okay, first of all, so there's a huge formula shortage. What bothers me is all the press coverage is showing these mothers with their babies. I'm like, don't men also have children? Like, these are men and women. These are their children.
I learned how to mix that formula.
Yeah.
There we go. Ally, hashtag E4G.
We didn't use a lot of formula, but, you know, I just it's crazy. Yeah. Like, I bought the formula at Rite Aid. Like, you're not seeing the B-roll in the news of the dad going to Rite Aid and buying the formula.
Yeah, because, again, this is a woman's issue, and therefore, since it's a woman's issue, we can just let babies starve? Do you guys think that there's anything we should have done sooner or anything we can do to get more baby formula?
I mean, yeah. How about having all formula on Medicaid? Like, why do we have one, you know, and why didn't
the
anybody,
WIC, yeah.
you know, and it's like crazy to think about the fact that like it's rationed. Also, the trade policies that don't allow us to import formula are fucking trash. Exactly. It's like two companies. And one of them had to be closed down because their shit was bullshit. And then you're looking at Nestle. It's like, oh yeah, they got a great track record. If anybody is old enough to remember, like I do, how Nestle was trash in India with the children of India. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, what is happening?
Well, I just feel like some things shouldn't be commodified. Like some basic things we shouldn't.
That sounds socialist, try to... Millie.
Guess what? Anyway.
I believe all babies should have formula. I guess I'm a socialist.
Yeah, I guess I'm a socialist because it's just like, why are we trying? You know, the two companies, like, it's so crazy because it's not really capitalism either. If it was capitalism, then there would be 20 companies that make formula. But it's really two that get subsidized. And it's just like, then the WIC thing, like you're saying.
I was going to say, you should talk about the WIC thing because a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, so WIC, it's really fucked up.
Women, infants, children.
So it's like food stamps. But food stamps, you can, which is already so needs-based, you have to fill out 50 fucking forms. So WIC is just the same, but at least food stamps you can use mostly anywhere, at Whole Foods, whatever. People will judge you if you get steak at Whole Foods with food stamps. Not that I know, I do. But... WIC, it is this like kind of to combat the welfare queen stuff. They're like, if you want to feed your kids, you can use this like coupon thing, but you can only get Mott's apple juice or like this kind of bread.
Kix cereal,
not like Lucky Charms, because you're poor and that's bad and that's sugar and you're, you know, but you could only get these certain brands.
Corn flakes and just a certain kind of milk. My family grew up on WIC and it was like so strict and limited, but you know, you just, this is the what they put on poor families, just be grateful that like you got the WIC so you could go buy your government cheese. It's like your one brand,
yeah,
and which is also very salty, by the way. It doesn't taste healthy.
So then what happened was when we had a shortage, right, there was the shortage of, it's the two brands that the government allows. So even though there's other formulas, you know, that are more readily available, these people couldn't get access to it. And it is like a punishment. And, you know, I think it's this whole thing of like stigmatizing poor people because all these millionaires, look at the fucking PPP, who got PPP, like settlements.
Paycheck protection program
from COVID. Devin Nunez's little wine thing. The Kushners got, and Kanye got $1 million. All these people get subsidies and help from the government. We're not looking at Kanye and it's like, well, did he get Kix cereal and all this shit? But we're looking at poor, and like, yeah, it's just crazy.
And in the pandemic, even like before this formula shortage, if you went to the supermarkets and if you now maybe think about it, maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't. If you looked at certain empty parts of the shelf, you would have noticed on the little tag it said that it was a WIC item. So those were a lot of the items that went first because of the you know, these are poor families that were, you know, suffering even more and then had such limited options in terms of what they could buy. And there's so many problems with just supplemental food programs in general, how much people get for SNAP, which is what people call it food stamps, but it's really called SNAP is the official name of the program. And that actual amount hasn't gone up in such a long time. And have you been food shopping lately? Mm-hmm. You can't walk out of there with much, you know, for nothing. And so people who have $200 a month to maybe feed their entire family who might have dietary restrictions are also limited to what they can get. It's
when they came up with the SNAP program that has not changed, it was based on, and I am not fucking kidding you, expecting that people would bake their own bread and like do shit.
To be fair, everyone did it's like buy bread flour. In 2020. Yeah. We all did. We all had a sourdough.
Buy flour, buy this, buy that. They don't allow people, like, you created this economy that is unsustainable for families. You have now have assistance that everyone should be grateful for that doesn't help you, doesn't make ends meet. It's just fucking
and
racist.
And then you wonder why people want to have abortions because they can't afford to have 100%. Children. 100%.
All right, so we've been talking about formula and milk and certain brands of milk that WIC allows. And milk has actually been a big topic on our podcast for the last 3 months. So it's time to discuss
milk. We have been going off. Charlie and I have been going off on milk. Well, mostly Charlie.
Like adults that drink milk and you shouldn't and stuff? Or
well, we think milk is a little weird. But specifically this... This became a topic on the podcast because Eric Adams tried to get rid of chocolate milk in schools, which we support. It's actually mandated, I think federally, that milk be in schools.
Weird hills to die on, Eric Adams. But okay.
Well, he's a vegan, except when he eats fish sometimes when he gets caught, but he's mostly a vegan. And but yeah,
oh, that's his good quality. I was wondering
there'll be a chicken wing scandal unveiled soon.
Yeah,
but so I anyway, our child when he was four had chocolate milk for the first time because it was handed to him every day when he was four and in pre-K. So we support Eric Adams' quest to try to get rid of chocolate milk. On the other side is Representative Elise Stefanik from upstate New York, who says
on the other side of what
she on the other side of the milk debate.
She's for big milk.
I think her district has dairy farms, but she is for protecting milk choice in schools. So that's the choice that
she's
for.
She's for the choice of milk.
She would say like freedom,
but not
and
the
but
choice
not
of
abortion.
To have
no one can have abortion, but let's all eat milk.
So anyway, the news in the milk beat this month is that actor James Cromwell super glued himself to a counter at a Midtown Starbucks to protest the fact that vegan milk options are more expensive than cow milk options.
Which, again, the hill to die on. It's just that it's more expensive.
The guy, okay, do you watch Succession?
Yeah.
The uncle that's like a socialist, like, you know, the Logan Roy's brother that hates him.
Like that'll do pick?
The guy from Babe, Pig in the City. Yeah.
That'll do pig.
That'll do pig.
Glued himself to Midtown Starbucks. Look, that's a little extreme, but why is almond milk more expensive?
I'm just glad to know he's alive and well.
He's alive, well, and protesting at Starbucks.
I also love that he glued himself to the Starbucks saying that it's like not cost effective to have these milks. It's like you're in a fucking Starbucks. If someone's buying a $5 coffee,
is
they're probably like,
does he need to spend
50 cents
Does he need hemp
more?
Milk to be sent to him? Is he okay? He's got that HBO money.
Where was he?
I mean, people can't go to Starbucks. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, what? Weird hills to die on.
Anyway,
people don't have formula.
To sum up, we're the only animals on the entire planet that drink the breast milk of different species. So that's a little weird. I don't think it should be mandated that children should have it in school. So that's our milk news of the month. We'll move on.
But it was a classic line.
Do you want to wrap it up in any way? I feel like we just kind of dropped the thing.
Cow milk is better for cereal, but you know.
Almond milk actually does take a lot of water. Actually, you know what, Charlie? I did want to tie this conversation back to monkeypox.
Don't go to almond milk. Go to oat or pea. Almonds are shit show.
I know. They suck a lot of
water.
And
avocados are a shit show. I hate to break it to people.
I know.
Someone said there's no ethical consumption in capitalism.
But I do.
That's true.
I do want to tie this to monkeypox because, listen, guys, we are going to get another pandemic. It might be monkeypox. It might be something else. But it has to do with our relationship to animals. Do we need to check ourselves? Are we going to be forced to take a look at our relationship with with animals?
Let's examine our relationship with animals. Because I should be able to get my lashes done, and my puppy should be able to come with me.
Get the mink ones?
Yeah, except there's like, I only have four left on this one and none on this one. But I will say, I will glue myself to my lash place if they don't let my puppy come with me.
Text me it. Because like James nothing beats up. Those photos, you know? They're like... Like,
yeah, no, yourself. You have to.
It's like, I don't even need makeup today.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, how often do you
do them? Lashes are good. Although I did it one
time. Until they fall off.
But it did feel like somebody glued shades to my eyes. Yeah.
If you learn how to do them correctly, you can do them yourself. I do like a little falsy on the end, just like one or two, not a full strip.
I think I went to jail.
Yeah, you need just a like steady hand for that.
What do you think about false eyelashes?
I think they're too long on Fox News.
Hashtag he for she.
Good point.
I want to talk about housing a little bit.
We'd like to talk about lashes, sir.
Wow, how oppressive.
Wow, look at him just shifting over
J-Lo's
to
lashes.
Housing.
Just reminding our podcast audience that Charlie is a white man.
Wow.
And his lashes are exquisite.
His lashes are great.
To be fair, Charlie's lashes are
you
the
have
stuff
lash
of dreams.
Privilege, yeah, wow. And I am not
I'm
here
very
for
privileged
it.
To have long
he
lashes.
He and our two sons have the same lashes. It's like you get stopped on the street with those lashes. And then here I am putting falsies on. It's not fair.
You know,
James Cromwell wish he had that head of hair.
Cromwell.
And we remember who he is.
I want to talk about housing to move the conversation forward and off of my eyelashes. So a recent report revealed that New York City has more Airbnb listings than long-term rental apartment listings right now. So, Carlina, I know you were the chief sponsor of a bill that would have required Airbnb and other short-term rental companies to disclose details about the hosts and the units that they rent, but then Airbnb sued to block that law. And where is that now, and what can we do about everybody renting out their apartments or landlords renting out apartments?
Because we live in Hell's Kitchen, and the entire 9th Avenue is filled with like families from the Midwest rolling their giant rollerboards and like looking around for us.
No, it's true.
I'm like, wow.
When I passed that bill, I had to take on Airbnb, which I don't know if you've heard, but they're a multi-billion-dollar corporation, so they had some money to spend on their defense. And, they did everything to try to kind of overcome what we had put forward in terms of the bill. They even put out, like, flyers that said, like, with my face, that said, wanted, beholden to hotels.
Big hotel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, check the donations. They're very public. It's not.
Yeah.
So anyway, when we passed this bill, like, we had to defend it. We went on and did, like, a debate in New York one, and I actually brought a tenant association leader from Hell's Kitchen because it was one of
Alita?
The... No, I brought this guy, Chris LeBron. He's
Chris LeBron's
Chris
been on our
was
show.
On our show.
Well,
a few months ago.
There we go. So we went on, and I was like, listen, we're going to do this. These guys, they're technically getting paid by Airbnb, but they're also very, like, spicy guys. So I think we held our own. We passed the bill. It got challenged, maybe on my birthday. Unclear.
Rude.
But,
that's so rude of them.
Can you wait
the next day?
I know.
Thank
what
you. The fuck?
But we actually came to an agreement that actually forced them to reveal and give the data that we needed, which the problem was is that people were taking their apartments, putting them as Airbnb, and really removing affordable housing from the little bit of stock that we had. Mm-hmm. But now we are in this predicament, and that there's a couple of reasons. Well, one, it's so damn expensive. Now you need, I think, like the average median rent in New York City is like $2,600. That is not fair to the average median rent of families in New York City. But then the other issue is we just don't have enough housing. Mm-hmm. So we have to really accelerate the construction of all kind of targeted incomes, extremely low, moderate, even middle, because like, you know, people give this kind of classic example, like every wholesome household is a nurse and like a fireman. But like those people can't really afford $3,500 rent. Like, you know, they can't.
Yeah,
so
and $3,500 is giving you like a one or maybe like a small two bedroom. If you have more than child, you can't fit. Yeah.
So we have the bill. It's there. We do have the data. There's actually a department inside of the mayor's office called the Office of Special Enforcement. And though they're mostly complaint-driven, this bill actually empowered them to really look into people who are taking the housing and using them at Airbnb illegally. So this is for illegal hotels. So hotels are in a shitty spot.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because it just, our most, and it seems like to me, that so much of this Airbnb bummer is that people hang on to rent-controlled low-income apartments and then they rent them out for like way more money instead of having people who could afford them do it, right? Like,
that's
I think
true.
People don't, I don't think people get that.
I think people also rent an apartment, like, it might not even be low income. It might be a $4,000 a month apartment that they rent to six people in 1 month, and then they can get $6,000 or $7,000.
Students.
They do that. And it's tourists. Just like, the thing is with Airbnb, it's like, it's not, you know, I think that it is one of those things that, like, people say all the time, I'm sure you hear, like, New York's not a place for families, or like, if you want to have kids, you have to move out, or it's just not building to this community that's really important. It makes New York feel like this transient thing that, you know, artists can't be here and we can't, like, sustain community because there's no way that people can
the
can
amount
do that.
Of people that say, like, we've had a lot of friends, we have two kids, we've had a lot of friends who've moved out of the city, they're like, you know, I just have to do it for the kids. Like, and we're like, yeah, we have kids and we're staying.
Yeah.
It's a great, what do you mean?
Great place to raise kids, but you have to be able to afford the housing, and there have to be two bedrooms and three bedrooms. And but there's, like, not a lot. And Carlene is right. We have to build. Yeah. And even if it's building luxury housing, it's still building housing because those people move out of houses to move into those houses. And we just,
and
like,
a lot of the luxury housing is all one bedrooms. It's not enough for, like, families who even have a ton of money. There's not actual real estate that's big enough for families to live in. Yeah. But, like, you know, today we live in an apartment building and we have a little, like, back area where, you know, the whole building can use. It's like a common space. And our son just, like, runs out there and splashes in the water with a bunch of his friends. And then they come upstairs. You know, it's like, this is the perfect place for families. Like, community, like, living in a dense area where there are a bunch of families in the same building, where if you need help, your neighbor is not, like, a five-minute walk down the road. They're literally across the hall. Like, if you reframe your thinking and think, well, this is a great place to have those connections in that community.
And the other reason why it's a great place to raise a family in a dense urban environment is that it's walkable, and that you can take your stroller out and you can walk to the grocery store and you can walk your kids to school, or you can bike your kids to school. And Cody and I have an e-cargo bike, and we're able to take our kids to school on our e-cargo bike.
Well, we don't take them in the cargo bike because it's a short walk to school.
No, but we can take our kids anywhere we want to with our e-cargo bike. So this is now my segue into the transportation portion of the show.
Can I just say, I had my recess growing up in New York City was on a street where they put up a barricade, and I can't
open
think
street.
I can't think. And
Carlina,
I know
I'm trying to get the street in front of our kids' school shut down so that they can have it closed.
What street
off.
Is it?
47th Street.
All right, I'm working on it. So
thank
I
you.
Just want to say, like, before we had open streets, that's where we had recess, and I thought I came out all right.
Yeah. it is just like a very American, like, you need a backyard, but it's just, like, not conducive. And also, back to the Airbnb thing real quick, is just like, yeah, you have all these families in your building, but what if half of the apartments in your building are just tourists who, like, are here for, you know, a week or something.
Yeah, you don't want to live in a hotel. Like,
yeah, you don't want to live in a hotel.
It's dangerous,
We lived in a place on 49th Street for a while, and there was a couple of, like, people who owned apartments there that were clearly doing Airbnb, and it was just, like, strangers in the elevator constantly, and it's like, yeah, it's not a community if
There's
you're living in a hotel
There's a time and a place
like
for Airbnb. Everyone knows it. We've all enjoyed it. Just keep the housing stock where it needs to go, which is to families, and I'm including families of one because I was a family of one for a long time for the families of New York City.
So, Carlina, in 2019, you introduced a bill that would have created an Office of Active Transportation and an Office of Pedestrians, which I think everybody on the stage is probably a pedestrian. We probably all walk down the sidewalk to
never,
get here.
I've never walked in New York City. I've lived here for almost 20 years.
Never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Never, rarely, sometimes, always.
But the Department of Transportation for so long has been, you know, so focused on level of service for cars and our traffic problems. We've obviously had some great heads of departments of transportation, especially Janet Sadik Khan, who gave us all of our bike lanes and our pedestrian plazas. I'm curious why you think we need these offices specifically and what the status of that bill might be, if you think that's something that could maybe happen.
So it's still, you know, it's kicking around in the council. I just reintroduced it because we're in a new term. So this would be an office that is kind of dedicated to the redesign and the implementation and creation expansion of, like, greener infrastructure, so more bike lanes or whatever you ride. Maybe you got a little scooter. Or, you know, whatever's your bag.
I revel everywhere.
All right. Well, that goes in the main lane, but it doesn't matter. It's shared streets, people. Shared streets. I think always with a focus on a pedestrian, right? So we need the bikes and all that, And then we need to make sure that we're also prioritizing mass transit. But I think what's happened is that because the city was really laid out and designed for cars,
redesigned for cars. Originally designed for people and horses.
Exactly. I don't want to talk about the Gilded Age because there's some issues there. But
a great show.
Is it great? There's so many plot holes, though.
The talent pool.
The racist housekeeper. I'm like, why do we have to feel bad for her? They never paid off. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Season two.
All right. Well, I hope everything will be revealed. But so I think why we need it is because, so actually the council, I co-sponsored a different bill last term called the Streets Master Plan, which actually codified, right, made it a mandatory thing for us to do that would put more bike lanes, bus lanes, et cetera. So we have that, but we don't really have someone who is really trying to do interagency communication, one of the city's worst talents, things that they do, they can't get it together. Interagency communication, it's very bad. So someone who will focus using all of the agencies, parks, Department of Transportation, Department of Design and Construction, there's a bunch of agencies out there, and really make it happen. And I think it's really important because you see more people on the scooters. I love seeing the little kids or the families biking together. And we certainly need just more room for that. And I think because we've designed all the streets for cars, it is actually really unsafe. And we've had a lot of tragic deaths, fatalities, crashes are on the rise, and people are dying. And this is supposed to be a very pedestrian-friendly city, and I think we should be the most pedestrian-friendly and cyclist-friendly city in America. And I think to do that, we need to actually put resources and focus on that. So I would like to do that. I've tried in my own respective district to make some changes. People hate me because we've removed parking spaces.
Oh, no.
But 80% of the people that live in this island do not own a car. So it's just the 20% of the people who hate you
are vocal.
And just fuck them, right?
Yeah. You know,
like, they can sell their car, and they can buy a bike, and they can walk. They live in the East Village.
Yeah,
they can walk.
But we have to also improve things like Accessoride, because some people say I have a car because, like, I have limited mobility, physically speaking. So there are things that we have to do. We're prioritizing mass transit, putting those bike lanes in, and everybody who's ordering their Seamless and even their medications or whatever else you're getting from Grubhub, those deliveristas, we also passed landmark legislation to protect them because they were being exploited and they didn't have the rights that typical workers do. So we're also trying to look at who's using the lanes, how do we make it friendly for all ages, and then how do we protect the workers that use it more than anyone.
So speaking of the bike lanes, another thing that you introduced and passed in 2019 was a law that if there was construction that was going to create a obstruction in the bike lane, like Con Ed is doing some work or whatever, and they're blocking the bike lane, they have to create a detour around the bike lane, which is huge. But enforcement of it is not always great. And, you know, you run into, like, maybe not Con Ed, sometimes Con Ed, but, you know, just random construction workers don't always put up the barricades. So what do you think we can do to get better enforcement of that, better enforcement in general of cars parked in bike lanes, which so frequently are cop cars parked in bike lanes, and they're the ones that are supposed to be.
Postal service, like UPS.
Which, by the way, you know, Charlie always takes a picture of a taxi limousine that's parked, a TLC car that's parked in a bike lane. You can report and get them a ticket if they're parked in the bike lane.
There's an app called Reported that Jeff Novich created, and you can just take a picture of, it has to be a TLC vehicle.
It can't be
a regular vehicle. But there was a bill in the council last year that would allow people to take a picture of any car in a bike lane or parked illegally or illegal placard or whatever.
Right.
And it didn't pass. It didn't even get a
and
vote,
idling,
I don't think.
Too. There was like bounty hunting idlers.
So bounty hunting for idling exists. There's people that there make thousands of dollars by walking around and taking videos
that
of trucks
guy.
That are idling.
Read about
that one guy.
Yeah, there's a Times article. A guy making
but
like
it's 100
grand.
But it's a fucking problem. It is a huge problem. Like, people will deliver shit or whatever, like, and then just leave it there. Or people will just wait. You know, they'll go in the grocery store. They'll send somebody, and they'll just wait. And then the bus can't get in. Like, so now 20 people can't get on the bus where they're supposed to because you got to go to the grocery store.
Not to mention the noise and the exhaust fumes and all that stuff. There are families living above these stores that are pissed off that they have to listen to these cars all night.
Well, I would also say, too, I'd rather have someone bounty hunting these people than people trying to get abortions.
It is like the interesting
thing. Bounty hunting situation, like maybe stop,
or like people who hop the turnstile.
Because having an abortion doesn't hurt anyone else.
It gives no exhaust. It does not emit anything. It's carbon neutral. I would argue.
Abortion is carbon. I think it's probably carbon positive to not bring more humans into the world, right?
100%.
We have the resources in this space.
If I could be, you know, every other medical waste is put into cities to help them run. And so, like, you know what? It actually... It could be if we were using medical waste.
That's exactly what Fox News is saying.
I'm going to say they're going to quote you right now. This is going to run on Fox News.
Let it run on Fox News. It's not wrong.
New York runs on fetuses.
No, Baltimore runs on fetuses.
That sounds some like crazy QAnon shit.
Oh, no, they've said that. No. But it's true. Medical waste. Look in Oregon. Medical waste is used constantly. It's incinerated because it's clean. It's clean to do so.
Well, I think this brings us back to the culture.
Carlina's like, let's talk about
bike lanes. The culture is, right, women can't enjoy sex. People don't say abortion. The culture is, cars should come first, and no one respects the bike lane.
Yeah,
right?
If you have a bike, you're lame. If you walk places, that's whack. It's just like,
yeah. You got to be a big, strong man in a truck with your air conditioning and you know, your gas, rather than somebody who's out walking around using their body.
I think it's helpful to, in where I live in Brooklyn, some of the streets just close up and the restaurants just throw tables out on the streets, right? And you can't drive, and that's awesome. And these restaurant kiosks, it's a beautiful way to have community rather than cars in the city. And if people can enjoy it, then
we live in the city because we want community.
Not the cool thing.
The cars fuck up the kiosk for me. First of all, I love the outdoor city. I love Europe, all that shit, but you know, then the reality of the kiosk is that you're there's a car zooming by and
true.
Like booty holes tight. You're all it takes is just a swerve. Yeah. And then my whole fucking life is ruined. And I'm just trucks are passing by and I'm shaking, eating eggs, trying to listen to my friend talk about her boyfriend.
I want there to be barricades so that they can expand the sidewalk and put the outdoor seating. I don't like feeling like I'm in this tiny little piece of wood that's the only thing stopping me from getting killed by
a
bus.
At the end of the day, cars should be guests on our streets, right? Yeah. We all live here, and there we all sometimes have reason to get into a car, whether we're taking a cab to the airport, or you have a zip car to go somewhere, or you own a car and you go somewhere, whatever. But they should be treated as guests on our streets, for sure. Yeah. But I'm curious, Carlina, what you think about enforcement, because I think we live near a police precinct in Hell's Kitchen, and I think anybody that lives or travels near a police precinct knows that the worst offenders of all of parking violations, especially, are cops. Every precinct is just sidewalk parking, sidewalk parking, sidewalk parking, which is illegal. It's illegal to park on the sidewalk, and also a lot of the
crosswalk on the school. It's just bad.
So it seems like we can't rely on NYPD to enforce because they are often the culprits. We have speed cameras, which we just got some news that it looks like Albany is going to extend the speed cameras 24/7 for 3 more years. For some reason, we have to go beg Albany to be able to enforce our own traffic laws. So it seems like automated enforcement by camera is good. And I think even though I get the comparison to the bounty hunting abortion stuff that's going on in Texas, which is horrible, I do feel like if I see someone parked in a bike lane, I should be able to take a picture of it and send it to 311, and that person should get in trouble and I should get some money, which is how the idling thing works.
Paid for snitching. I don't know.
Charlie Johnson can donate it to abortion funds. I don't want us to have to do that, but that's where we're at.
But Carlina, what's the enforcement answer?
Okay. So I think automated enforcement is, there's two things, right? Well, there's three. I said change the culture. People are in the bike lane because they don't respect us cyclists. And I'm tired of it. Okay.
And you biked here today, right?
I did. I biked here today, actually, so I could build up a nice sweat. You know how good it is when you get the... Okay.
Who needs any of that, glistening stuff? I just have sweat.
Well, I mean, I have an oily T-zone, but we can talk about that later.
With the lashes. Charlie?
Okay.
Thoughts? T-zone?
I get a lot of sweat in my lashes.
Yeah. They're exquisite. The second thing is we really have to rethink street design just generally. It's just not designed for people, pedestrians, cyclists, and there are things you can do. Have you ever biked down near Times Square? Actually, they have some of the street, the level, it's up. It's
the raised bike lane.
Thank you.
Cops can still figure it out to get up there.
They figure it out because they get all up on the sidewalk too. But there are things you can do like that, or we have this vision for Avenue B, open street, where we can actually extend Tompkins Square Park out to Avenue B and actually raise the level of the street grade. I think that's what I was trying to say. And make it so that it looks just more flush with the park. And then the automated enforcement is effective because we did the first busway. I know everyone's excited. 14. Like, woo, busway. On 14th Street, and it's the first in the city, and actually that is automated enforcement, and that has been really, really effective.
So the buses take pictures of the cars in front of them that aren't supposed to be there, right?
Yeah, and listen, I went through hell to put that busway in there, but the worst thing that people can complain to me about is like, I don't know, my team would probably kill me. The people would be like, it's just so quiet now.
Well, which
is wonderful. It's so wonderful.
And that bus is moving.
As is commonly known, cities are not loud. Cars are loud. And when we have car-congested streets, our cities are loud. Which gets me to the last thing I want to talk about with transit, and then we can move on, is the noise that is created by cars is a huge problem. And I know you, Carlina, along with friend of the show, Councilmember Eric Botcher, are introducing legislation to address harmful vehicle noise, which yes. would be increasing penalties on. Is that on like car? Does it include car stereos, or is it just like cars that are modified to be really loud?
If my kids are screaming like as they're like going to school and having a temper tantrum, does that count? Will I get fined for that?
They say vroom.
We can include an amendment. You know, we're always open to feedback.
I would say add screaming children.
I would love that if I could threaten my child and say, you're going to get a fucking fine. Shut your mouth. Yeah.
You're That'd incessant. Really I mean, I have a dog, and like if a dog was like being a dick.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to measure it, right? There's the Department of Environmental Protection. There's another fabulous agency for you to know about, DEP. And, like, the decibels of sound, and we know that it can cause cardiovascular issues and cognitive problems. So it is a public health issue, the noise. So we have that bill. I even have another bill that that I reintroduced where it would change the classic New York City siren sound. I know, it's a very glamorous job.
Ambulance.
The job of the council.
Ambulance,
yeah, exactly. The ambulance sound, it would change it from kind of the classic one to like the two-tone European, which is much more soothing to the ear. So it's like what you heard in like all the Jason Bourne movies.
Oh, yeah, like...
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Nailed it, Cody.
Guys, I read a lot of books to my children that have vehicles in them.
So we're trying.
Yeah. I used to live across the street from NYU for many years. And the buses would idle out there, and not only was the bus noise, but the amount of like environmental crap that would come from the buses. Like my windows were never, I could never clean them because of the you don't even think about it. Yeah. It's like if my windows are taking this in, what are my lungs taking in, and like all that shit, like. Yay, I love this. That's all I have to say. I really did have nothing. I'm just kind of drunk at this point.
Yay!
Two wines in. I just got to say real quick, you know, I love transportation. Studied abroad in Japan. Would go 20 minutes, bike 20. I could never, you know, whatever now. But it was, you know, when we start thinking about, like, revolutionary city design, I didn't even, like, the bike lane and the bike parking and the bike shit, like, is just a completely different, separate part of the street. And there are many studies that show that people will bike no matter what the weather is if they feel like it's safe.
Yep.
So, you know, it's the medians, the you know, and, like, it's crazy. I mean, New York, like, can really lead the way. But it's just like people complain about the weather. I would say more people bike in New York than California and in LA. And it's because people feel even just slightly safer. So I just.
Well, it's also, we're a city. We're one of the only like big cities in the United States that is flat, that is really pedestrian and bike friendly. It's an easy solution. Like, this isn't San Francisco where it's like, I guess it'd be easy to bike there, but the hills are killer or whatever.
Got an e-bike in San Francisco.
Yeah. So
I mean, I live half the time in Brooklyn and half the time in Minneapolis. And the Twin Cities, you talk about bike friendly, like, they have made it their job to make it,
And that's recent, right? In the last, like...
No.
You know that?
No. It is not recent.
It's always been good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a city that has prided itself in its lakes. It's a very outdoor place to begin with. And when you have people who bike year-round there, for sure, like snow, all of it, like, you can make urban centers feel very safe for bikers.
And clean.
And clean
and
if
nice.
You want Quiet. To. Like, that's just on us. You yeah. know? And people will, it's like you said, if they feel safe, they will do it. And, like, it's
if
fucking
you build it,
freezing.
They will come.
If you build it, they will yeah. come. So thank you, Carlina.
Yes.
For
thank
trying
you.
To build. Yes. All right. We see you.
We're going to move on to our lightning round and try to hit a lot of topics a little bit quicker.
Our lightning round is also, just a reminder, sort of not a lightning round. Some of these questions we write are really the full question. But, you know, we're going to do them anyway. We're going to pretend it's a lightning round.
So in 2020, Andrew Cuomo used prison labor to address a hand sanitizer shortage. And the incarcerated workers made so much now that the state has 11 million bottles that it doesn't know how to get rid of. What should the state do with the 11 million bottles of hand sanitizer sitting on a pallet somewhere in upstate New York? Any ideas? Suggestions?
Make baby formula out of it?
What's it made of?
It's alcohol, so they can...
It's good. It's New York Clean brand hand sanitizer. It's
I used some of it. It was that very thick, like kind of like nasty. I hated it.
But, you know, I feel like we should have... You know, I went to Mexico recently, like a few times, and everywhere you go, walk in, square you with hand sanitizer everywhere.
We were in Mexico too, and they were pretty damn good about the pandemic there.
I've been to Mexico, I've been to Colombia, everywhere except for the U.S. I would say Puerto Rico. Actually, they're very most people are vaccinated, and they are very strict with masks.
Viejito, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But U.S., like, we're the only ones that politicized this shit, and we look stupid, but everyone needs a squirt of hand sand.
You know, Puerto Rico, everywhere I went, they had just, all the hotels I went to, they all had sunscreen, too.
Yeah, so
I was
we
like,
need
what a lovely little treat. Just put some sunscreen
Keep going
out.
To Puerto Rico, everybody.
Yeah, is that a sarcastic one, like the Hawaii, like we shouldn't go? Or
No, go to, they need the money.
They need the money.
I mean, I feel
it's
like there
though.
Is... elementary schools where kids can't be vaccinated under 5, like all those, you know, communities, like, you know, I was just in West Virginia, which they literally have nothing. And then they have Joe Manchin. It's a fucking, like, the worst.
So we'll send the bottles to Joe Manchin.
But like, send the bottles to Joe
Manchin. No, but I'm just saying, like, in the haulers and, like, in places where you have kids under 5 and until they can get vaccinated, like, trying to help them sanitize their hands and stay. Yeah.
Send them to kinder care with Betsy DeVoe.
I find it hard to believe also that, like, we can't use it in, like, our hospital system.
Yeah. It's really gross.
I think it's just
the kind
really
of like super.
Oh, I remember because
nasty.
He sent, like, council members. it looked like where you get the giant Clorox bleach. Oh, and we're like,
Cuomo sent it to all the council members.
Yeah, and we're like, how am I supposed to give this to families who don't but barely open the door?
Again,
so
and
I'm
it's
like,
bigger
I'm
than
I'm
their
like,
apartment.
Put out your hands. I'm not kidding. We told people, can you bring empty spray bottles? And we're like pumping them in. So then instead, we bought little 3 ounces, like the for the like the airline. We were filling them in the office to distribute. We distributed thousands of them, but we had to do it. Which is fine. I'm a public servant. But, like, yeah. think
like,
about
really,
it, AC.
Like, I'm sitting here just pump. Like, my job now is to just pump
hand
sanitizer.
Yeah, don't pump too much. It gets everywhere.
Yeah, it's
you
ridiculous.
Know how it is. You know.
Has the panel decided who they're voting for in the gubernatorial primary?
Oh. It's Kathy
Hochul. Kathy Hochul. Jumani's running.
Okay. Oh, Jumani Williams.
Tom Suozzi. Anybody voting for Tom Suozzi, the centrist Democrat from Long Island? No?
No.
Tom Suozzi knows exactly who he is, if that helps.
Wow, I love that the speed of the lightning round questions is fascinating.
This is a hard one. I mean, I'm undecided. I'm gonna wait and see. I like Kathy Hochul. I like that we have a female governor for the first time, and I want to reelect our female governor, but I'm going to wait and see, I think.
I'm going to vote for Mastriano and move to Pennsylvania and vote for that guy.
Can I ask, like, do you all That's go voting together?
We don't usually go voting together, no.
Oh, do we align like our who we vote for?
I don't know. Oh, you're like, what are you filling out? No, what are you filling out?
Carlina's a politician, so she's trying to know what
I have my husband write down who I vote for.
Yeah, then
I just open up the piece of paper and I just fill it in. I don't even ask questions.
By the way, everyone knows that person. You get the text or whatever. Who should I vote for? I'm like, oh, There are five judges running, and there are five slots open for judges.
Yes, yes.
Don't stress about the judges. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember my mom used to like wait for the flyer from the DNC or the local DNC to come in and be like, okay, the judges. And she'd just bring it to the voting booth and like circle.
Yeah. No, I was joking, judges, by the way. I don't know when you're going to be in front of one. Make it count.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, before our next show, I'm going before a judge because I got a ticket on my bicycle.
Oh, shit.
And I'm fighting that shit.
Oh, fight okay. I assumed you ran a red light.
No, well, he said I did, but guess what?
How dare he?
I followed the walk sign.
The leading pedestrian interval.
We did that in the council.
And I told the guy, I said,
LPI.
Sir, I followed the walk sign because bicycles are now allowed, since 2019, we're allowed to follow the walk sign.
He got wrong Karen that day.
And he said, he did. I was like, I will Karen this.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but the law is on your side.
It is, so I can't wait to go there and defend
Put the system on trial.
Elwoods, everybody.
I want to speak to the manager.
Listen, know, right? Just in time for Independence Day.
These bike lanes.
Everyone's
lightning round. All right,
next
number
topic.
Two.
After an up.
Yeah, we all avoided that, so nobody said who they're voting for.
Wait. I don't know, Carlene. Have you endorsed yet? Are you waiting?
I haven't endorsed. I haven't endorsed.
Okay, we're not going to make you endorse after two beers on this show.
He's like.
We get people on, make them drink two beers, and then make official endorsements.
After an uproar caused by a Sam Adams summer ale selling for $27.85 at LaGuardia Airport, the Port Authority has announced rules that concession prices cannot be more than 10% higher than out-of-airport street prices of similar products. How much would you be willing to pay for a 23-ounce Sam Summer Ale? Panelists, what do you think the right price is for a 23-ounce Sam Summer Ale?
For a mass-produced
This is a hard Sam question Adams. Because I know going to Broadway is an absolute privilege, but you could get some cheap tickets. But let's say the intermission comes,
yep.
And you go to get that wine.
No, yep.
And they're like, do you want a double? And you're like, of course I want a
How
double
much
wine.
Is it?
That'll be $27.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane.
What my friend got, we got free tickets, got two
support
drinks
Broadway,
on Broadway.
Support Broadway.
$60. $60
Guys,
for two
you don't
drinks.
Bring purse alcohol? Now,
I bring purse
that's
Sour
a movie.
Patch Kids.
I went to
do
a movie
that.
The other day.
We
had a full spread of sandwiches and four beers.
Movies
did
you
I do
sneak
that? Yes,
shit. Not Broadway. Broadway, they be checking your shit. But I will say, I used to work for a company that, an entertainment company that I had to fly around and tour with. And I would go to the fucking airport, and I'd be so stressed. I'm like, let me get a beer. And at a certain point, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really care how much it costs. I need alcohol. And then I would see that shit is $30, and I try to get reimbursed, and they'd be like, we don't reimburse alcohol. So I stand with, you know, just like the guy who taped himself in the Starbucks. Weird hill to die on. We got a lot of shit fucked up in this city and country. But I'll die on that hill with him. No expensive $30 Sam Adams,
too
people.
Much.
This is America,
yeah,
goddammit.
Yeah, I don't
want
to quote like the Shawshank line about a bottle of suds and something. I think it's important, though.
Maybe we should start selling the Cuomo hand sanitizer as alcohol at the airport.
That's very Kitty Dukakis. I feel like, no.
All right.
I feel like, let's not.
Netflix executives said they were aiming to introduce an ad-supported lower-priced subscription tier to the last 3 months of this year. How does the panel feel about ads coming to Netflix? Isn't this just cable?
Do you know I was laid off on Netflix on Tuesday?
Was Netflix the
they laid
entertainment
off a lot of
company?
People.
Yeah, they laid off the entire Latin department, the Black department, the Asian department, and the queer department.
So how do you feel about their
Well, I signed
content.
An NDA that I signed something where my severance is dependent on not disparaging. So I will tell you backstage.
We'll skip over. Yeah, all right.
No, we can see. Well, fuck. No.
Liz, Carlina, you ready for? Would you reduce your Netflix bill in exchange for advertisements?
I'm just, like, so mad at what you said, that they laid off all these departments. It's not like the Latin shows are coming in trending now.
This was the social media team that were, like, promoting the Latin shows, right?
But that's the whole thing.
Oh, hey, you know. Oh, because I was tweeting about it a lot.
I did my research.
And but also it's, like, that's the whole point is if you don't have people of color helping you understand, like, what's out there because there's so much shit, like, I wouldn't know to look for shows that are great because now they just cancel it all. So what are you doing? Netflix, ads, I already pay. Maybe don't
money
I already
heist.
Pay?
People know about money heist, right?
It's Casa de Papel. Casa de Papel, but that's Spanish. We're
exactly.
Latin.
Like, it's like that's the only one that I see sometimes. That's bullshit.
This month, New Jersey bans single-use plastic bags, joining New York City. Next on the list, I think, should be plastic utensils for takeout.
Oh. We have a bill for that.
I know, the Stop the Stuff bill, right? So,
you Cody, are so happy. I feel like, are we the only people who are like, all the work that you've been doing, because you're like, yeah, I'm ready to talk about that.
I'm like, do you want to talk about legislation? Honestly, the plastic...
Say it, Liz. Say it. Two lines in.
I mean, honestly, everybody who forgets to check that fucking box when they get delivery.
It doesn't matter if you check it.
But, like, whatever. It just goes right in the trash.
You
like,
can't
just
recycle
stop
it.
Making it. Stop making it.
Like, I save it for future picnics.
And also,
that's smart.
I just gave a giant bag like this big on my Buy Nothing group. I was like, does anyone want all these utensils I've been saving?
And someone took
them. What's a Buy Nothing group?
Oh, you got to get in your Buy Nothing
group. You don't know what a Buy Nothing
group is. Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm not in it.
My God.
Buy Nothing is a series of Facebook groups.
I'm embarrassed.
And delete
this segment.
No,
it's
no,
a
you're,
trend.
No.
I didn't know it. I think it's where young millennials.
The Hell's Kitchen Buy Nothing is very active.
Yeah. So basically, people put all this shit. They're like, this is free. Do you? It's like
Craigslist free.
Exactly.
But
some of it's weird. Like, old jar of beets, expiration date 2019. Who wants this? I'm like,
Someone wants it.
The idea behind it is bigger than just like free shit. It's like you can ask for things. The idea is
it's
that you're supposed to be waste reduction.
It's waste reduction.
And there's been times where, like, you know, my
hashtag zero waste.
Like, my kid is obsessed with the movie Cars, despite us being. So it's so anti-car.
Wow.
You know, children love cars.
How
I love that.
Did you guys talk about it? Do you still accept him and love him, even though you don't respect his lifestyle or choices?
It's a journey that you're on together.
You're gonna work,
I put on the Buy Nothing group. My kid's obsessed with cars. Does anybody have any car stuff that they want to get rid of? And like immediately, there's like five neighbors like, yeah, my kid's outgrown this. So it's
We've
a great way.
We've not bought our child a single present his entire life. Our four-year-old has never gotten anything new.
No, I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but he has. He's gotten a lot of, like, you know, hand-me-down stuff and free cycled stuff. And it's a great landfill reduction. Like, if you ever have something in your house that you don't want anymore, but you can't bear to throw it away, Buy Nothing is great. So we just got rid of plastic utensils on Buy Nothing. And it took a while for somebody to take it, but someone did. But, like, even if you click...
There's a plastic utensil fetish.
So I was like, hey, yeah, I'm gonna take
everybody
it to
wants
work.
Oh, my God. If you don't click it...
No, but even
when
if you
do... When you see it in the Whitney, I'm telling you.
It's at the Whitney. It is an FIT outfit.
This is. Do you think I will, like, get some of it? Like, if they sell it for $1 million, this whatever creation they made from
our utensils. That's it.
No, but so yeah. Even if you do say we don't want utensils, it's always in the bag. It's just default. It's always in the bag. You cannot recycle a plastic fork. Like, you're not even supposed to put it in plastic recycling. They're too tiny and they, like, fall through the cracks of the recycling machines. So explain the Stop the Stuff bill and how you're going to fix yet another problem for everyone here.
You covered it. Like, good luck, everyone.
But
I get those disposable. Like, you could, like,
compostable.
Katie knows this stuff.
You know what?
The bill that you have is to make it opt in. Like, you have to say, "I want the forks and knives," and then otherwise you don't get them. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And I also think the plastic bag bill, I've been approached as to kind of making it stricter, because you actually do get plastic bags in many, many, many scenarios.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to come after the bodega or the small business that has to put your bacon, egg, and cheese and your Poland Spring in there. But, like, you know, whatever you're drinking. I'm trying to stay hydrated. But, like, exactly. So I think there's things that we can do and even build on some of the laws that already exist. So that's one of them.
Another thing that Mexico has, listen, everyone, it's like, make America great again. America's the greatest thing. I go to Mexico, I go to other countries. They fucking got it together. Mexico, plastic bag ban. They don't give you plastic bags for shit. And also Plan B, $9. Don't ask me how I found out.
All right. Also, you can get medication abortion.
It was one of those five times
anyway,
a year.
But also, like... I compost, and compostable bags. Why can't we just use those for all the bags?
Eric Adams is cutting compost. Eric Adams is cutting composting. Look it up. He's cutting it.
Like, use compost bags to pick up your dog poop. Like, I literally, like don't understand why we're not using things that just turn it.
Yeah. Turn it to food for
because
plants.
Because big plastic bag has a shit ton of money and they're lobbying people.
Big bag.
People.
Okay.
Big bag.
We should subsidize compostable
big bag, big
shit,
milk.
But
yes.
That's just too progressive.
Final lightning round question. So all of our maps have been redrawn here in New York City.
Yes.
We have new congressional districts. We live in Gerard Nadler's district, but now we live in a district that Gerard Nadler and Carolyn Mahoney are both going to run for.
The battle of the 74 and 76-year-old people who really want to keep power.
But so, I just feel like those two communities are so vastly different.
And that was proven, right? I thought.
Wait, Upper East and Upper West?
Yes.
Well, compared to the rest of the city, they're pretty
close.
But
Nadler's existing district went from like the Upper East Side, like deep into like neighborhoods
upper
in
west
Brooklyn.
Side,
upper
West Side, downtown, into Brooklyn.
Yeah. So anyway, but the question is, so that district has now been, they're together. So there's a new district, District 10, that has a lot of overlap with the district that you represent, actually. Mm-hmm. So the lightning round question is, anybody on stage going to run to be a congressperson in that district, District 10?
Does anybody want to make announcements after drinking beer? Anyone here?
I am
thinking about it.
Thinking about it.
I really love being the councilwoman. Just listen.
Run.
Hold on, all the way here. I'm from the LES. I just representing is like such a. Hold on a second.
I like the news from this podcast is Liz Winstead says that cities run on abortions. And Carlina Rivera is now announcing.
She's thinking of sex.
Lincoln NYC question on there. I saw in the corner of my eye.
We'll talk about Lincoln NYC backstage.
I will say though that I think it's good when younger people run, and that not everybody who's when I'm 76. I hope that I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat some food. I'm going to hang out with the grandkids. Yeah. And I'm going to fucking do nothing. That's what I want to do when I'm 76.
Oh, but no. There's when people are 76 and about to retire in America, they become senators and congresspeople and make laws and the Supreme Court. And do they have Alzheimer's? Probably, but...
And they should just shut the fuck up and give their money to young people so they can actually run the world that they supposedly worked to envision for people. Like, that's what I'm... When I'm 76, I'm giving my money to you so that you fucking run for shit because, like, I know what I believe in. I know what makes the world good. It's you, so here.
Where are you retiring?
Wherever you want me to. Tell me.
It can be roomies.
Yeah.
My husband won't live that long. Let's be serious.
They tend not to.
It's true.
Look at how many men wear the mask on the subway. It ain't going to be too long.
Oh, men are all going to die because they're all going to get COVID.
I'm just like, why?
And also, vasectomies kill men. I don't know if you guys know.
Well, apparently vasectomies make eyelashes longer. So that's the fucking thing.
All right, guys. Let's give it up for our incredible panel. Let's give it up for Millie Tamaras, Liz Winstead, Carlina Rivera.
Thank you guys
for coming out on a Monday night. And we really appreciate Caveat for having us here. Thanks, Six Point, for our beer that we drank tonight. Thanks to Tyler Walker that does our theme song. And Cody, let's make sure everybody doesn't forget
to vote in midterm elections.
Good night, everybody. Thanks so much.
Bye. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and